Desert Island Discs.
Where were you born, Acker?
In Somerset, a place called Pensford.
Acker isn't your real Christian name, is it?
Oh, no, no. Acker is a Somerset nickname. There's quite a few Ackers down there, you know?
Means
it's
what?
It's like, Whacker, mate, my old Ack, you know?
What was your first job when you left school?
My first job when I left school was in a tobacco factory in Bristol, actually.
Yes.
Had 3 years there.
Then what went wrong with it?
Well, it was a factory, like I said, and I've come from Pensford, and I wanted to get out in some fresh air, so I left and got a job on the buildings, you know,
mm-hmm.
out in the fresh air all day.
Had music played any part in your life so far?
Not really, not really. I used to like the radio and listening to, you know, the bigger bands, like, who can you say, Glenn Miller was one of my favourites there.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't play an instrument?
I didn't play, oh no.
Where did your interest start?
Well, I first seen a clarinet when I went in the army. This was in Egypt. I went to Egypt, and there was a clarinet knocking about the tents there, which I commandeered.
Yes.
And sort of had a blow on every now and again and got new notes out and had myself a big ball, you know.
Then you settled down to learn it?
Well, I'm still trying to learn it now, but we settled down with a band. There was quite a few other people out there. I was very lucky. We were interested in jazz and music. And there was a piano player, a very good piano player. We scraped a band together, you know, in Egypt.
Yes. And when you came back to civilian life?
Well, I couldn't really do without the clarinet and the music, so I brought it home and formed a band in Pensford.
This wasn't full-time, though?
Oh, no, it was semi-professional. I was working in quarries and things, and blacksmithing. I've done quite a few things.
When did you take the plunge and decide you were going to be a full-time musician?
Well, I had an offer from Ken Collier in London. He was short of a clarinetist, and he asked me to join, and I went up and joined him in London.
What happened then?
Well, I didn't stay with Ken too long. Roy had to leave because my mother was ill in Somerset. Dave, my brother, was in the RAF. He couldn't get away. My sister was at school, so somebody had to go down there.
Yes. So back to blacksmithing and quarrying?
No, no, I didn't go back to blacksmithing. I went on a dam, worked on a dam, and in a sawmill. And in the meantime, I was still at the band again, still playing in the evenings, you know.
Yes. How long before you came back to London?
About 2.5 years, I think.
And this time you brought your band with you?
Well, three of them. Three of them came up with me. The rest didn't want to know about London.
Did the bookings roll in straight away?
No, they didn't. Let's put it this way. They rolled out. We were, you know, potato soup for about 6 months.
I believe the whole band lived together for a while.
We were in an attic, yeah. We lived together in an attic.
What was the turning point?
We had an offer from Germany to play in the beer bar in Dusseldorf. And we had 7 hours a night there.
7 hours?
Yeah, for 2 months this lasted. It sounds a lot, but it was very good for the band. We whipped ourselves into shape, you know. Mm-hmm.
Had you started the striped waistcoats and bowler hat uniform yet?
Oh, no. That was after we came back from Germany. The agent got hold of a publicity man called Peter Leslie. He said, this band sounds good. I'd like to put some publicity out. Any idea of uniforms? And I suggested a waistcoat because they're cool to play in. Mm. And he suggested bowler hats and spats and everything. But we didn't get that far. But we finished with bowlers and waistcoats.
Yours was really the first band to do the curious clothes bit.
I think so, yeah.
Really a throwback to the 20s when all the big American bands were dressed as Eskimo and Northwest Mounted Police and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Acker, you don't find that the clothes make people lose respect for the music? I mean, with the clowning around, they can still take the music seriously.
I think they do, Roy, because I think it's essentially a happy music, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't see any reason why you shouldn't look happy playing it and appear happy, you know?
And what's the pattern at the moment, Acker? You're on the crest of a wave. That means one-night stands every night?
Oh, yeah, really. Since Germany, we've done one-night stands. 6 years, you know?
How far afield?
Zurich, Scunthorpe. I remember one job we had. We were on a riverboat shuffle on the Mersey, and the next day we were appearing in Oslo.
Wow. As well, of course, as recordings and broadcasts and filmings. The pressure is on. Do you think you can take the pressure more or less indefinitely?
Well, I don't know, Roy. That depends on the future. You never really know. Let's put it this way. The pressure, I've been fine up to now, and I think we can afford these days to cut it down a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. I think everything's fine.
Yes. You've just had a big success in the United States.
Oh, yeah, we just got back from New York, and Stranger on the Shore, you know, that one, you know it.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that was a lot of the success, you know. It went to number one, and everybody knows me over there.
Yes. What is your public? What's the age group of your public?
Well, it varies. I should think the majority would be in their late teens or early 20s. Mm. But we get quite a lot of younger people and quite a lot of older people, surprisingly enough.
Yes. What percentage of in these one-night stands are concerts and dances?
Well, I should think about 75% concerts and the rest dances.
Mm-hmm. What's for the future? Any particular big ambition?
Not really. I never had an ambition, you know. I just like to carry on and keep things swinging and play as much as I can and get some sleep now and again, you know.
Acker, we haven't talked about the composing side of your career. There's one item in particular.
Yeah, Stranger on the Shore.
That's the one. That's been in the popularity charts practically as long as I can remember.
Yeah, actually it's been in the top 50 for about a year, Roy. Mm-hmm. I wrote that for a string album for America, with strings, you know. And I called it Jenny at the time, and nothing happened about it. Just led in the United States doing nothing.
Jenny after your little girl?
That's right, after my little girl, yeah. And a BBC producer asked me to write a number for a series called Stranger on the Shore, which I did. Well, he heard the record, it was already recorded. We used it, had a lot of letters in, and people liked it. And they issued it as a single over here, which done very well. In the meantime, the United States was saying, well, we record Acker as well. Why don't we get Stranger on the Shore? But they already had it on this album under the title of Jenny.
Yes. Are there any more coming up?
I've done a couple more, Roy, for another album, incidentally, which I think people they'd probably be issuing it. I don't know. Thank you.